Welcome to Jury Duty. I'm your host, Carrie Antholis. This season of Jury Duty explores the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse, who was charged with the reckless homicide of Joseph Rosenbaum, the intentional homicide of Anthony Huber, and the attempted intentional homicide of Gage Grosskreutz. As Rittenhouse was the undisputed shooter of all three men, his legal team argued that the shootings were in self-defense. In our last episode, we progressed with our look at the direct examination of Daily Caller videographer Richie McGinnis as prosecutor Thomas Binger questioned McGinnis about the events that led him to follow Kyle Rittenhouse as he ran south on Sheridan Road with a fire extinguisher and his AR-15 on August 25th, 2020. On today's episode, we continue that examination as McGinnis describes the events leading up to Rittenhouse's shooting of Joseph Rosenbaum. That's all coming up right after the break.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As we concluded our last episode, prosecutor Thomas Binger had asked Richie McGinnis to describe the events that culminated in Joseph Rosenbaum beginning to chase Kyle Rittenhouse into the car source lot on 63rd and Sheridan Road. Binger now guides McGinnis to relate his experience of the moments leading up to the shooting of Joseph Rosenbaum in that car source lot. McGinnis says that he heard yelling and saw a lot of people in the streets, and then McGinnis says that he saw
Mr. Rosenbaum advanced towards Mr. Rittenhouse. Mr. Rittenhouse gave I think he maybe saw him coming and gave to police that it was like a juke, but it was more like just a pivot and a run.
Please continue. What happened after that, as far as you recall?
And then he pivoted and he ran towards this parking lot right here. So he was like right on the side of the street, and he ran towards this lot, and Mr. Rosenbaum ran after him, and I was behind both of them.
And you continue to be behind Mr. Rosenbaum at the time that the defendant shot and killed him, correct?
I did alter my trajectory a little bit. When I saw Mr. Rittenhouse turn around and saw Mr. Rosenbaum lunging for the front portion of the rifle.
Let me stop you there for a second. First of all, we know now that individual who was shot and killed by the defendant was Joseph Rosenbaum. Mm-hmm. At the moment this was all going on that night, did you have any idea who that person was?
No clue.
After Binger has McGinnis relate that he mistakenly thought he was recording video of the unfolding events with his phone, he next seeks to establish that Joseph Rosenbaum was unarmed.
Did you ever see a weapon on Mr. Rosenbaum?
I did not.
Never saw a gun on Mr. Rosenbaum?
I did not.
Never saw him have a knife? Never saw him have a club or a bat or a chain or anything like that.
I just saw the bag that was thrown. That was it.
Binger then plays aerial footage of the moments leading up to the shooting recorded by the FBI. He has McGinnis identify himself in the footage following Rittenhouse and Rosenbaum, and then asks McGinnis to recount his memory of the events that happened next.
What I'd like you to do, Mr. McGinnis, is tell the jury in your own words, what was going on at this particular moment where we stopped in the video.
So basically, I was running behind Mr. Rittenhouse and Mr. Rosenbaum. And like I mentioned before, Mr. Rittenhouse turned around and Mr. Rosenbaum continued. And I was continuing, but then I realized, that they were about to basically collide. And so at that moment, I was still running, but just before the shots, I kind of altered my trajectory of my run a little bit in the direction that I perceived to be out of harm's way.
What do you mean harm's way? You were several feet away from them. What was the harm to you?
Well, once Mr. Rittenhouse turned around and Mr. Rosenbaum continued, it was a very short, very, very short period of time from when he turned around to when the shots were fired. And basically in that very short period of time, I realized that Mr. Rosenbaum was continuing to advance and that Mr. Rittenhouse was standing still and that they would be, based on Mr. Rosenbaum's, the way that he was running and then eventually lunging towards the front portion of the rifle, it was clear to me that something with the weapon was about to happen, and I didn't want to be on the wrong side of that.
When you say something with the weapon was about to happen, what do you mean?
Well, it wasn't clear to me whether the weapon would be grabbed or fired or what exactly was going to happen, but it was clear to me that it was a situation where it was likely that something dangerous was going to happen, what be it Mr. Rosenbaum grabbing it, Mr. Rittenhouse shooting it. I didn't know, but I knew that my eyes at that moment were, like in this exact moment, were fixated on the barrel of the weapon because I didn't want to end up on the receiving end of that.
You said your eyes were focused on the barrel of the weapon.
Yes.
Where was the barrel of the weapon pointed?
At this moment, when he stopped, it was aimed about 45 degrees at the ground.
Did the aim of the barrel of the weapon change?
It did. And when Mr. Rosenbaum lunged, Mr. Rittenhouse kind of dodged around. And then that's when it was leveled at Mr. Rosenbaum and fired.
What was the position of Mr. Rosenbaum's body when the defendant fired at him?
Well, there were four shots, but it was like in one continuous motion, it was like a lunge towards the front portion, a dodge around, and when he missed, his momentum continued forward.
So I'm going to stop you for one second. Yeah. When he missed, who's he?
Mr. Rosenbaum, I'm sorry.
Please continue.
When Mr. Rosenbaum did not make contact with Mr. Rittenhouse, or it wasn't clear to me whether or not they made contact, but what was clear to me was that the trajectory of the rifle wasn't really altered by Mr. Rosenbaum's lunge. So if they did make contact, then it was just a glance.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Binger next points out to McGinnis that he gave an interview to Tucker Carlson of Fox News in which he said that Joseph Rosenbaum was shot while he was falling forward. And then Binger plays a section of that interview for the jury.
Well, Tucker, I was just about 10 or 12 feet behind them as they ran into the parking lot. And what I saw was Rosenbaum pursuing Rittenhouse, and Rittenhouse turned around. Now, right before he turned around, I'm not sure if this was a reason why he turned around, but there was a gunshot, and that's actually visible on video. It's not clear whether or not that gunshot was fired into the air or towards Rittenhouse, but Rittenhouse did turn around immediately after that. And at that point, he went from running away to aiming his weapon at Rosenbaum, and I was actually directly behind Rosenbaum. So I took one or two steps to my right as Rosenbaum was lunging for the barrel of the rifle, and he was that close to him. And Rittenhouse actually took the barrel of the rifle and just dodged around. And at that point, as Rosenbaum was falling forward, he fired quickly four shots into Rosenbaum. And at that point, I was only about...
We just played an excerpt from a video interview that you did with Tucker Carlson on Fox News. Do you recall this interview?
Yes.
And the date of this interview is August 28th, 2020.
Yes.
Does that sound about right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's 3 days after the event occurred. Is that fair to say?
I think it was it happened on a Tuesday, and I believe that was Friday.
Sure. 3 days later. Fair to say that on Friday after this incident, your memory of it might be better than it is 14 months later?
It's just the same. I'm never going to forget it.
I generally speaking, people's memories better when it's closer in time. You'd agree with that?
Yeah.
And you mentioned seeing some other videos before you gave this interview to Tucker Carlson. So you'd watched some things in those 3 days, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. But in this video here, you are telling Fox News, Tucker mm-hmm. Carlson, that the defendant shot Mr. Rosenbaum as Mr. Rosenbaum was falling forward, correct?
Yeah, it's unclear to me because the shots were so quick whether, you know, the shots are the reason why he, because he lunged and then the shot was fired as he was lunging. So it was like, I guess perhaps it was the shots that caused him to then, rather than stopping himself, just fall flat.
That's not what you just said. Let's play this back about 20 seconds, please.
The interview plays again, and we hear McGinnis say, quote, "Rittenhouse actually took the barrel of the rifle and just dodged around. And at that point, as Rosenbaum was falling forward, he fired quickly, 4 shots into Rosenbaum," end quote. Binger continues.
Your interview 3 days after this incident says that Mr. Rosenbaum was already falling forward when the defendant used the gun and discharged the shots.
I don't see why that's inconsistent with what I'm saying right now. He was lunging, falling. I would use those as synonymous terms in this situation because basically, you know, he threw his momentum towards the weapon. And when the weapon wasn't there, his momentum was continuing. And that's the point at which he fired. So if you use the word falling or lunging, it was his momentum was going forward. And that's the point at which he fired the shots.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. A few seconds ago, you were saying that you weren't sure if Mr. Rosenbaum started falling because he was shot. But in your interview here, the falling is occurring before the defendant even shoots Mr.
That's
Rosenbaum.
That's not what I
according well, to your interview.
Let me clarify. I said that I wasn't sure if he didn't catch himself because he was shot. Because you can lunge forward and then put your foot out and stop yourself from falling. So it wasn't clear to me, you know, for example, if the shots had not been fired, it's not clear to me whether he would have fallen or whether he would have caught himself. That's what I meant when I said that.
At any rate, your statement in this interview and what you're telling us here today in person is that Mr. Rosenbaum was already falling forward when the defendant shot him.
Is that accurate? Yes, his momentum was going forward. I don't know this term falling. I just wouldn't use that. So I'm not going to say that because that's not what I said.
You actually have said that. I'm using your
words. I'm not going to say that right now because I'm clarifying. It's correct. It was a live interview.
You can ask questions, but don't comment on the witness's testimony.
Fair enough. At any rate, whether it's the momentum, falling, however you want to put it, Mr. Rosenbaum was in that motion.
Yes.
Before the defendant shot him.
Yes.
Judge Schrader calls for another break, and with that, we bring to a close this episode of Jury Duty, The Trial of Kyle Rittenhouse. Join us on our next episode for our weekly recap as we take a look at some of the subtext of this direct examination of Richie McGinnis by Prosecutor Thomas Binger.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You can find more information about this trial at crimestory.com. Jury Duty is created, hosted, and produced by yours truly, Carrie Antholis. It was co-produced by Chris Tarracone and Aaron Karenik, and it was edited by Chris Tarracone. Our consulting producer is Brittany Bookbinder. Music for this episode was provided by Strike Audio, and trial audio is courtesy of Law and Crime Networks. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next episode of Jury Duty, The Trial of Kyle Rittenhouse.